Aaron Cook, Beis Vasek Aleph. Let's go. It says, Kol Amar Hashem, read Beis Melech Yehuda, V'Dibart Hashem is the Devar Hazeh. Okay, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go down to the palace of the king of Yehuda, and I want you to speak these words there. So he wanted to go down there. So remember, we were just talking where Yirmiyah was on the site of the Beis HaMikdash, right? He had been speaking to, what's his name? I keep forgetting his name. What's the guy's name? No, Pashur. That's right. Yeah. Pashur. You've been speaking of Pashur, right? He got arrested. He got thrown in, right? I will show it to you. We're going to get to it, right? So he's going to say it over here. He said that I want you to go now to the king of Yehuda. Go from the Beis HaMikdash down to over there. Valmarta, you're going to say, Shema Devar Hashem El Yehuda. I want you to listen to the word of God, king of Yehuda. Hayosh Valkisi David, who's sitting on the throne of David HaMelech. Atav Avadecho V'amcha. You, your servants, and all of your people, Abayim Basharim Eil, who go through these gates, the palace gates, or the Beis HaMikdash gates, they've got to hear. Kol Amar Hashem. Asu Mishperut Tzaka. I'm giving you one last chance, king of Yehuda. Okay? One last chance. You have one last chance to be the king of all of Yehuda and to continue to do what David HaMelech did. David HaMelech did Mishpat and Tzedakah. Natsilu Gazel Mi'ad Ashuk. You save the theft from the hands of the oppressors. V'ger Yasam Almana, as well as the Gerim, the orphans and the widows. Altonu, you should not afflict them. Altachmosu, right? Altachmosu, and don't what would be the word for that? Hamas is, you know, seal, whatever it is, yeah? But the Damna Kiyal Tishpukul B'mach Mazan, I don't want you to spill any innocent blood in this place.
But it seems like you're going from positive to negative. Like, you think you would start with, like, don't kill, which is the biggest no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Don't steal, that would be the next one. And then help people and do proactive.
Yeah, I have a question about the order of things, a couple of questions.
I don't think the Tishpukul Damnaki is referring to literal murder. I think it's no. It's not referring to, like, something so crazy. It's descriptive. Descriptive. Don't do that. Yeah, but it's all regarding, none of this has anything to do with just helping the poor. It's justice, charity, you know what I'm saying? Like tzedakah in that way, you know, taking away from the people that were stolen from, and then the widows and the orphans and everything. That's the damnaki al tishpaku. Don't let the exploited, the victim, you know, do this himself. Now, the Das Sofim says that what we're really worried about is that the exploitee becomes the exploiter. That somebody who had stuff stolen from him was put in such a situation where he didn't feel that justice was rendered, so he himself becomes an evil person himself. Since the world is so evil and unjust, well, I can only take care of myself, and that's what the guy says. That decision allows them to rob and defraud other people, and that's what you have to be careful from. Do not allow them to become that way. If you're going to do this, you're going to come through this gate, you're going to have kings that are riding for David HaMelech on his throne, Rochlim Berechav, Ubasusim, riding on chariots and horses, he is servants and his people. But if you don't listen to these things, then I swear by myself, says God, that this house is going to be destroyed. Now, that does not mean that the house is going to be destroyed forever, meaning that there will be no Malchus Beis David. No, certainly not. There will be a Malchus Beis David. What it means is that they're no longer going to have the power that they once had before. And it's true. After Tzidkiyah, there was no power to Malchus Beis David for the rest of for the rest of time. Yes, Hillel became the Nasi, and then Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, etc. They had that, but the real power of Malchus Beis David ended by Tzidkiyah. So he's giving a warning right now. I don't know if this is to Yoshia, this is to Yo Yakim, or whoever it was, but he was giving a warning. This is your last chance of having Malchus Beis David and being something special.
But there's always
going to
be a Malchus Beis David, because Mashiach has to come
eventually, but meaning it's going to end for quite a while. It's not that it's going to be destroyed forever. It will come back by Mashiach, but it's going to end for quite a while.
Yeah,
and that's what it's been for the last 2,500 years.
Plus the Gimel really is not conditioned for it, meaning those are things in order to maintain a basic.
That's what you have to do.
Civility, you need to.
You need to have.
Or maybe it just means don't join Hamas.
Well, there's no question, but they are like those are not the only things you have. You know, like I would add quite a bit to that list.
Right.
It's just basic tzedakah mishpat is what they're dealing with over there.
It's interesting. It's weird, right? Mm-hmm. They're so eligible Democrats. Tzedakah meaning.
You should know the reason why it says mishpat tzedakah is because of David HaMelech, right? Because David HaMelech was also, he did the mishpat, and then he gave tzedakah the person couldn't pay back. So he gave tzedakah to that person. Instead of doing tzedakah u mishpat, which usually is called. This is Mishpat Utsdaka, which was the opposite, and that's how David Melech did it, and that's what he's telling Beis David as well.
What did David Melech do?
He gave the Mishpat, meaning he judged them, and then after, if the guy couldn't pay back, he gave Tzedaka. He called on Hashem, Beis Melech Yudah, this is what God said to the king, the house of the king of Yudah, go, Gilad Atali. You know what? You're just like Beis Malchus, Beis Yisrael to me. Rosh Levanon, the head of the Lebanon, in law, Shif Hamid Barim, Lono Shavu. You'll see if I don't make you into a desert of cities that are not settled whatsoever. And that's the idea behind it. Now, another way of looking at it is that the Beis HaMikdash, it says Rashi, is referred to as Gilad, the home of medicinal herbs and cures, which had therapeutic effects on the bodies. And what he was saying is that I want to make Livanon, which is another word for the Beis HaMikdash, to be a Gilad, to be a refuah for everyone. You have one last chance to allow that to happen. I will prepare destroyers against you, each one with their weapons. The course of Mikara is that they're going to knock down your choices of the cedars, tell me the chachamim, the leaders, etc. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash, the Pilo Ala Ish, and I'm going to throw everything onto the fire itself. The Avru Goyim Rabim Ala Ira, those many nations will pass through the city, and each one will say to their friend, what reason did God do this to the city? I believe this is the third time that Yirmiyah has a line like this. And you're like, why did this happen? Because they forsook the Brit Hashem, their God. Remember, before we learned, because they didn't learn Torah, or they didn't do Birch HaTorah, whatever it is. They bow down to other gods, and they serve them. That was the idea. Don't weep for the dead. That refers to Yo-Yakim. Yo-Yakim, remember, was the evil king who tattooed Hashem's name on that part of his body. Al-Tanudulo, do not bemoan the fact that he is gone. Bahu Vichol. What? Yo-Yakim.
Yeah, but which name?
One of Hashem's, I don't know which one it was. Others say it was the name of, what's it called? It was the name of a Avodah Zarah. So it's Machlokas, which one? Livku b'cho l'holeich, weep for him, he that goes away. Instead, weep for Yo-Yakim, right, who traveled, instead, ki lo yeshuv od, right, he will no longer return for Rosh Eretz Moladeto, nor will he see the land of his birth. Yo-Yakim will be sent away into Gullus, and he will be in jail for 37 long years. He will never be returned to Eretz Yisrael. Yo-Yakim died, and his burial was extremely terrible, right? Yo-Yakim is the one you weep for, because he's never going to come back or sue anything whatsoever. Because thou learn from over here that you are not allowed to weep excessively for someone who dies. You cannot do more than the regular. 7 days, obviously, 30 days, 11 to 12 months, depending, right? But other than that, that's what we do. Anybody does more than that is not there. Yeah.
I think it's specifically referring to the king, not to anybody.
Right. No question. The drush from the pasuk when it says Al tivku lemeis al tenudulo bechul b'chol oleh, don't be the guy who's crying, etc. Right, that's what we're saying over here. In a way, Yo-Yakim had a better death than Yo-Yakim, and Yo-Yakim had a better death than Yo-Yakim. Right, obviously Yo-Yakim was left unburied and left to the elements. It was a terrible, terrible death—the death of a donkey, as we're going to call it. Right, Yo-Yakim was released eventually by Evel Merodach, right, and eventually allowed to die in Babel. Right. However, Yo-Yakim was buried in Eretz Yisrael and didn't have to worry about exile or jail. Yo-Yakim had to live through jail in Babel for many, many years. That's the difference between it. So that's that. That's that. Okay. Anyway, Kikol Hashem El Shalom Ben Yoshio. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says regarding Shalom, the son of Yoshio. Who exactly is Shalom? Some say it's Yehoyachin. Others say it's Yo-Achaz, son of Yoshio. Others say it's Sitkio. It's a question of who this is. Melech Yudah, Molotov Yoshio. Obvious, yeah?
Sitkio,
he says. But the reason why is because he was king instead of Yoshio, his father. The one who was king after Yoshio was not Sitkio. If you left this place, you will never return here again. I'm sorry? Shalom Hud Sitkia is in the Gemara, right? That's mentioned over there. Nonetheless, it's a three-way machlokas. That says what?
It's Sitkia.
Sitkia, they all say that. But the other opinions are, right, Yo-Yakim and Yo-Achaz. By the way, if you make Komasher, he will also, the place where he's been exiled, Shalom Yemus will die there.
Which wasn't mentioned in Malachim for whatever reason.
That's right. brain. But that wouldn't be a good, no, wouldn't be a good Raya. Plus, Ben Yoshio, we know there were four sons of Yoshio. The Navi goes through the four sons of Yoshio, and that one of them never became king. Either way, Kim Komash Yiglu, so Sham, the place that he was exiled, Sham Yamusi will die, if it's Arzis, also you are Odi, you will never see this land again. Pazak Yud Gimel, Hoy Bonet Beso Belo Tzedek, woe to the person that builds his house by means of unrighteousness. Bal Yosef Lomishban, he builds his upper stories through injustice. Bereehu Yavod Chinam, he uses his friend's services without paying. Upo'alu Lo Yitin Lo, and he never compensates the person for all the things that he's done for him. In other words, we're saying this, according to Chazal, this is all referring to Yoyakim. It obviously refers to a regular Jew who's cheating out all of his workers from getting money and taking stuff for himself. That's an obvious one. But it also should be a reference to Yoyakim, a person who did tremendously terrible things and built up Klal Yisrael for himself. Omer evidently based Midos. He said, I'm going to build myself a large house, but Leos Meruvachim, and very, very spacey upper stories. Karalo Chalonoi, right? He forms his windows, right? Or tear through his windows. The Sapon Ba'aretz Mashok Bashashar, right? He is going to cover it with cedar, right? And then he's going to anoint it, or maybe paint it, with some shashar. I have over here vermilion. I don't even know what vermilion is. Anybody know what that is? I have no clue. No idea what vermilion that refers to. Yeah. All right, anyway.
I mean, it's...
Okay, so different pictures and stuff like that.
It's handled with cedar and painted with bright colors.
Bright colors? Okay, so vermilion must be a bright color.
Oh, vermilion, yeah, I do know what that is.
Yeah?
It's a red.
It's a red?
Yeah, vermilion's a red. Yeah, it is. Oh, now that
weird guy.
Yeah, it's a red color.
No, he said I did bright colors.
Bright colors.
Yeah. Wait, you have English. Oh, what does it say over there? What does it say over there? Vermilion?
Yep.
That's great.
Vermilion's a red
color. Will you be king? Because you have built it up with cedar wood, your father ate and drank and did justice and did charity.
A red pigment in color.
Okay, red pigment, not bad.
Boom!
Then it's good for you. You probably have a picture in there somewhere.
I have vermilion, cinnabar.
You don't have any of that. All right, whatever.
Black color, that's
yeah.
Color, probably.
Yeah.
But that's the Yoyakim, and that's that. Obviously.
Is it brilliant red or scarlet pigment originally made from carbon minerals?
It could be that we're referring over here to Yoshio. It could be referring to Dovin and Malachor, saying his father, right? Not your real father, but meaning his great-great-great-great-grandfather. Either way, in Pasuk Tazayin, right, it says, Don Din Ani, he judged the cases of the poor, the Evyon, and the destitute. Az Tov, that's when it was good. Aluya Daso Sinu Mashem. That's the one who knows me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is, again, yelling at Yoyakim. Pasuk Tazayin, Ki Ein Enek Avaliv Chokim Al Bitzet. Your eyes and your heart are only on your gains, what you can gain. The al dama nafiyli spoke, and on the innocent blood that you've spilled, the al aishak, and on the oppression, the al marut salasos, and those things that you judged hastily, and things like that. Yo Yakin, you relied on the zchusim of your father for way too long, who worked things l'shem shemayim. No longer is it going to be that way.
Like Menashe, like depleted the pot, or whatever, so to speak. He's been with you for about 3 months, Yoyakim?
Yoyakim was 3 years, wasn't it?
Whatever it was.
You know what? Hold on.
I mean, he wasn't doing bad things as long as other people.
Let's see, we have it in here somewhere, so let's just find it very quickly. I don't remember, and I have it in my other sefer.
There is a list.
There is a list in there, right? What else is it? We have Esau's family, 70 nations, Jewish monarchy. We have Yoyakim, 11 years. 11 years. 3 months was Yoachaz and Yoyachin. They were the small ones. And 31 from Yoshia, 11 from Sidia. Okay, so you do have quite a bit over here. Oh, you got one. Okay, good. Here we go. So now, that's all you were trying to do. Do not mourn him. Hoy achi, by saying, whoa, my brother. Hoy achos, woe, my sister. Lo yisperu lo. They will not mourn him. Hoy adon, vahoy hodo. Right? Woe to the Lord, or woe to anything. There is no reason to say anything about Yoyakim. Kvuras hamor yikaver. He will be buried the burial of a donkey. Can you imagine saying that to the king Yoyakim? If this was in front of Yoyakim, which I assume it was, when he was saying these words, right? This is an unbelievable thing to say to the king. He will be buried the burial of a donkey.
He's talking about third person.
Sakol vahashleich mehalal, l'shar yushlein, dragged and thrown going around from there to the gates of Jerusalem. Now what happens? Jehoiakim was taken captive by the Babylonians. He died on the road. His corpse was dragged by them and then either dropped into a pit or just left unburied at the wayside itself. That was the death of Jehoiakim, and that's how bad it was. Now, when we say Rabbi Prada, remember Rabbi Prada? He's the one that taught that student 400 times, right, where he kept saying it over and over and over again. So Rabbi Prada's grandfather or Rabbi Prada himself, there's machlokis who exactly it was, either his grandfather himself, found a skull near one of the gates of Jerusalem. After picking it up and burying it, he once again saw it right on top of the ground. So he said, I must not have buried it deep enough. So he buried it again and he put it down, and after he buried it the second time, he saw that it appeared on top. He said, it's got to be King Jehoiakim, because it says about him that his burial is going to be the burial of a donkey, that it's going to lie in the middle of the road, and it's going to be disgusting. But it's a king, and it's not respectful to leave the skull here. So he took it home, wrapped it up in a silk cloth, and he put it on one of the closets in his home. I'm sure they didn't have closets back then. You know, basically put on the dining room table. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to have that there. No, not at all. So his wife...
What happened?
Oh, don't worry, I might tell you. His wife...
Could you do the wax candle thing on the skull? That's like kind of cool if you're learning by the wax candle and having the skull there.
That's sick. Anyway, his wife opened up the area that the skull was in, discovered the skull there, told her neighbors of what she found. So they said, he's lying, it must be the skull of your husband's former wife, and he can't forget her. That's sick. Anyway, when she heard that, she took the skull and threw it in the oven and burned it to pieces. After that, right, Rabbi Prada's grandfather, he himself said, Zos ve'odacheres. Not only this, but another thing. That Jehoiakim's punishment was not only this, but there was another thing that he was going to get. He was going to get this punishment of a burial of a donkey and eventually being burned. That happened to Rabbi Prada's grandfather. Now, why did it happen to Rabbi Prada? I don't know. Like, what did Rabbi Prada have anything to do with it? Like, why did it have to happen to there? It's like, that story sounds like an actual story, but it almost is like a metric. Where, like, you have to sit there and say to yourself, what in the world does that mean? Like, why would it happen to him?
We're asking our friend, you're sitting on the road. Do you agree that this really happened, or do you hold it?
Sounds like it's real.
Sounds like it's real.
Yeah. Tape,
so. Sounds like it's real.
And Yemen holds.
Not that Midrashim are not real. They all are real, no matter what the name is. But nevertheless.
Well, I agree that it's different.
They are real. They are real.
They are real.
Yes.
But yeah. No, but one of the biggest stories. Questions of that whole movie is, it kind of tells you about, like, the education of women back then.
All the men. Yeah. Really,
and, like, that's what you got out of it?
No, but I'm always wondering. Intelligent, is it not more? Right?
Yeah. Maybe even a ton. It depends on which repeat it was. Yeah.
Well, maybe a ton. We've been there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. It's really, it sounds so strange. It sounds
like
so strange.
Then you kind of understand Gemara's that say, like, you know, Nachum died those kalos or whatever it is, but then you would have to realize that nowadays it doesn't.
I mean, it's not that crazy. I mean, first off, the fact that you find that your sagely rabbinic husband is keeping a skull and a silk scarf in the closet is in itself, like, kind of a weird thing. So she could have asked her friends, like, I don't know really, you know, he's nice, we call it
Yeah, I will tell you. I have no question.
I feel like it's probably exactly.
Was
I don't want to end up like the ex-wife.
What's he going to know what to do with it? Like,
I don't know. Tell your wife that you have a skull in the house. Wrapped
you don't
in
want to scare her.
Yeah.
This scared her more.
Right.
This scared her more. Then it's like man cave closet.
Right? And his man cave closet. Right. Right by the grand, you know, the 60-inch. Right.
You found a wrapped skull in your wife's closet.
I'd be like, what the heck is going on?
Right.
You probably have questions first. Yeah.
I would ask.
All right, let's go. How's the club?
Now without a couple people there.
By the way, as a side note, I don't remember where that Zos Vodacheres is. I would assume it's in the end of Malachim Beis, but I don't know where that's written. But Zos Vodacheres does not seem to be over here. Aliyah Levanon, go up to the Levanon, meaning literally should be to the base of Mikdash. Utsaki, cry out loud. Uba Bashan Tini Koleh. Among the Bashan area, the other side of the Jordan River, lift up your voice, Utsaki, and cry out the loud, Me'avarim, from all directions. King Nishbu Komavayim. All of your lovers have been crushed. In other words, all the people that you expected help from Assyria, from Egypt, from anywhere, right? They're all crushed. They're all gone. None of them are going to come and help you. So no matter where you go, you're not going to get any help. I spoke to you during your times of peace. Amart, you said, Lo Eshma, I am not going to listen. Zedar Kekmanurayk, this is what you did from your youth. Kilo Shemat Kekoli, you did not listen to my voice, and that's what it's referring to, I guess, to Yoyakim, right? Koro ayach tira ruach, all of the shepherds will be blown away by the wind as the kings and the shoftim. Your loved ones, they tell me to come and go in captivity, for then you will be ashamed. In other words, you're going to go into shivui, right, captivity, and you're going to be humiliated for all of your wickedness. You lived among the people of Lebanon. Mikunant ba'arazim. You made your nest in the cedars. How charming it will be when those evils come upon you, the pains of a woman who's in labor. And that's idea. Chayaninu Hashem. Kimia Kanyohu ben Yoyakim. Though Kanyohu, the son of Yoyakim, the king of Judah, Chosem al-Yadimini, even if he was the signet on my right hand, Misham et Kenko. That's a weird word. From there, I would remove you completely. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, no matter how great your son is, still his chus will never be able to help you, Yoyakim. Wow. It's not enough.
Wait, even if he was doing tshuva, even if he was trying?
Yoyakim, maybe, but your son will not.
What happens if, what's his name, Konyahu. Yeah. If Konyahu did tshuva, he couldn't...
That wasn't enough for his father. It would never be enough for his father.
Oh, wow.
His father had to do something. He says, I'm going to deliver you to the hands of those who seek your life, the people that you're afraid of, the hands of the Chaldeans, I will then cast you on your mother that gave birth to you, into another land, where neither one of you were born, you're going to die there, in that area. Now that's weird. It seems that the mother of Yoyakim, right, was a woman of stature, right, and highly respected, even by Kutuzov's widow. But that's a little bit strange. I will tell you, that's weird though, because remember we just said Shem Tamusu, right? You're going to die there. I guess that's because he died on the road to Bavel, but he didn't really die there, right? He died on the way there. So I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know. But Allah Orat Hashrei Menasim, as the land which they desire, you know, they lift up as Nashem the Lashuv Shem, they say that they're going to go back. There's all the false and the VM and stuff like that. Shem Lo Yeshuvu, they are never going to return there. Etziv Nivzen right, this man Kanyahu, right, is he despised, saddened, right, a broken vessel, in kli ein chepetz bo, is he a kli that nobody wants? Why are they thrown away as such, right, he and his children, thrown to a land that they do not know whatsoever? And that's the idea again. Yoyakim, right, who is the son of Yoyakim, who this is Kanyahu, he was 18 years old, he was the one who was spurned, and he was the one who was taken out. Eretz, Shemi Devar Hashem, land, hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it could be that this time, the reason why it says land three times, because Luchad Netzar did three exiles, right, that went throughout the land. Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and then Sidkiyahu. The times of Yehoyakim, that's when all the tzaddikim went and everything. Yehoyakim was quickly afterwards to show that nobody was going to rule from Yehoyakim. And Sidkiyahu was the final one. That was the final one there. Of course, you could say it refers to
an uncle of Yoyakim.
Sidkiyahu and Yoyakim were brothers. They were and Yoachaz as well.
They were the sons of Yoshia. Yoyakim
was the grandson of Yoshia, the son of Yoyakim. Right, that's what it about.
I respect the naming rights, but I wish they would have like a little more distinctive names, a little easier to remember.
That's why they use Shavum and Konyahu. Yeah, go ahead.
Rashi has a number afterwards. Three different places, Yehuda, Ever, Yardin, and Nicole.
Oh, that's good. Those three parts. But the thing is, Nebuchadnezzar didn't exile people from those two other places. Those two other places were exiled, obviously. But that's that. You know what? That does make sense, though. Who knows? The Eretz clearly is referring to Galus of some sort. Kol Marshem, Kiswuz Ishazda Riri Gever. Inscribe this man to be absolutely childless, meaning for Yoyakim over here. Gever Lo Yitzach B'Yamav. He was a man that will never succeed in his time. Kilo Yitzach Mizaro Ish Yoshev Al Kisei David Moshe Ol Yehuda. There will be no man from his children that will sit on the throne of David HaMelech and rule in Yehuda itself. That Yoyakim, right, will never be the person that's going to be there. Now, it does say that Yoyakim's son Yoyakim was able to eventually do tshuva. The Gemara says, this is actually a medrash, that he did have a child in jail with his wife. It's a question how his wife got there, but that was a story for another time, right? And he did have a child. That child's name was Shaltiel, 12, Shealtiel was a grandfather, right, of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the one who brought them all back to Eretz Yisrael later on, together with Haggai, Ezra, Nehemiah, etc., if Nehemiah isn't Zerubbabel, right, he gave birth to them.
All the descendants of Zerubbabel.
And in fact, yes, everybody from David and Melech, you know, from the Nisim of Klal Yisrael, were all descendants, not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but all the Rabbi Gamliels, etc., were all descendants from that child that was born in jail. Sidkiah's kids, we don't know anything about. It seems that none of them survived, and there was nothing from Sidkiah. So really, the whole thing, he killed his kids in front of his eyes. No, but that was Nebuchadnezzar. So we don't know. We don't know, but Sidkiah was still young, remember. But it seems that the only children that we have left from David HaMelech's direct line that was the last king of Yoshiah was only Yochanan's kids, and that was Shealtiel, who was eventually Zerubbabel, etc. The reason why it's a big enough book is because Nehemiah may have been Ezra. Nehemiah may have been a Kohen with Ezra. If Nehemiah was a Kohen, then Zerubbabel could not have been the grandson of
Zerubbabel.
Yeah, Zerubbabel is Nehemiah. It was brought down in Dibra and Ezra Nehemiah. We'll see when we get there. Zerubbabel may have been him.
They're never in the same place at the same time.
So we'll see when we get there. So Perikop Gimel over here. Now we're going to get into Mashiach. Baruch Hashem, there's going to be a good thing. And toward the end, we're going to say bad things. Hoy Oroim Ma'abdim. Woe to the kings, the shepherds, right, that destroy, that kill others. Umefitzim Esol Marisi. And then they scatter, they run away for money, right, among the sheep of my pasture, says God. L'chein kol marsham l'kei Yisrael. Oroim Oroim Ma'ami. On these kings, the shepherds that shepherd my nation. Atem. Habitzosim Esoni. You have scattered my sheep at Hadichum. And you stripped, drove them away. You have not taken care of them. Therefore, I will punish you. I will bring about all the evil of your doings. That's what's going to happen. You have scattered them. You have been indifferent to all the people. Therefore, I will take care of everything else. It says, I've just missed it over here. I will gather together all the remnants of my flock. That I, from all the lands that I drove them out there. And I will return them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and they will become strong. In other words, I'll bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. Not through you. You kings will be gone. But I'm going to bring them back in a different way. That's interesting, by the way. If Zerubbabel was the grandson of Yoyachin, it's not true. It's that Zerubbabel could not have been the leader who brought them back. And he wasn't really. It was Ezra and Nehemiah, right? But nonetheless, that wouldn't be able to be done. Vakimosi Aleim Roim. I will appoint other shepherds over them. Ra'um, they'll take care of them. And they will no longer be afraid. They will no longer dread. They will no longer be missing, says God, and that's that. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kings he will set over, will not be afraid of the people doing what they want so that he'll stay in whatever it is. They're going to do what they think is the best thing, and they will tell the Jews when they're doing something wrong. That's the way that many of the leaders at the beginning of the second base of Mikdash were. Unfortunately, that didn't last very long. Where the kings ended up becoming the Hashemadai kings, did not last very long. In a Yamin Ba'inu Hashem, there will days that are coming, says God, the Kemoslu David Semach Tzadik. I will set up for David Melech a sprout that is righteous. Well, Moach Melech, he will surely be king, the Hiskil, and become successful. The awesome Mishpat Utsakavar, he will do the Mishpat and Tzedakah in the land itself. What were we going
to
say?
No, I was just going back to the point you were talking about before. The analogy is that the kings of the Hashemayim were not all so good, right? What the Rambam says, despite the fact that they were, and we still have a celebration because they marked a period of independence for the Jewish people in Israel for a period of 100 and whatever was years.
The Hashemayim kings.
Right.
Okay, I hear that. I definitely hear that. The reason why we're compared to a sprouting plant is two reasons. Number one, a plant sprouts slowly, and you can't really see the growth, but all of a sudden it grows. Number two, the reason why the plant does well is because it's surrounded by other plants, therefore it's able to grow. So those two things are the idea. If the king has people surrounding him or are trying to help him, then he can steadily grow and become greater and greater. Yeah, what do you say?
Semach Tzedek. Is there some...
Yeah, for sure. Semach David Avdecha, etc. Semach Tzedek. Semach Tzadik. I don't know. Yeah, the puzzle copied the Semach Tzedek completely. By the third of the Bavitcher Rebbe? Yeah, no. The Yamav, Tiva Shah Yehuda, in his days, Yehuda will be saved. Yisrael Yishka Levetach, and Yisrael will live in surety. This is during Mashiach. Vezeshmo, and this is the name Asher Yikra'o that he'll be called by. Hashem Sidkenu. Now, there's a question how to read this. Some say you read it as Zeshmo Asher Yikra'o Hashem. This is the name name that God will call him. Tzidkenu. That's the name that he'll call him. The Mashiach. Others say he'll be called Hashem Tzidkenu. The same way that Yaakov Avinu was called El Elohei Yisrael. Remember, he was called El Elohei Yisrael in the same way. I'm very bad at this. Vayishlach?
No, but it says that Yaakov called, but it seems like that it has to be understood.
Vayikra Lo El Elohei Yisrael. They called to him, which seems like you could say, yes, that's the Drush, that it's on the Mizbeach. But in the Pasuk, it seems to be referring to Yaakov, you know, itself.
I know what Pasuk you're talking about.
That's what it is. It's El Elohei Yisrael. The Yaakov, you know, is also known as El. Oh, it's a Gemara. That Yaakov, even Yaakov was known as El. I'd have to think of where it is. Maybe Brachos at the end of the first part. I forgot where it is. But it's a Gemara that says
maybe
that.
Maybe he's talking about...
But look it up. If you look it up over there.
Maybe it's not... If it was not the word El, and this is...
No. It's, you know, Hashem.
The second thing is, to call an El means a God. It means a deity.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Targum Yonasan says, his name is God is our righteousness. That's what he says by Targum Yonasan.
No, but Targum Regler says, Lana Zafrani, Kodam Hashem, and Beel. Wait,
no. The very end.
There's some kid somewhere.
Yeah, that is what I want. Yeah. You think that it's part of Hashem, you will be known as this. Not that your name will be Hashem.
I hear you. He says from Yonasan. I'm only getting from the Amalek.
What's the case talking about Yehuda? That's named Yehuda, or that they're talking about...
Oh, instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei?
Yeah, look back. The Amav of Shal Yehuda. Shal, right?
Yeah.
So then it's going on, and that'll be Bezeshmo, Asher Yikru, Hashem Tzikena. That's the name they'll call.
The call of Yehuda?
Yeah.
Or their call out to Hashem?
Yeah.
Sounds Asher Yikru, he will be called.
Yeah, no, Yehuda will be his name. Or maybe that's like...
No.
Maybe we're talking about Yisrael.
Out of order. I think this is the proper reading. The problem is where Hashem goes. But I think that is that. Yeah, okay. Some say that the reason why he's called by this name is because his tzidkus will reveal God to all of the people around. So he's allowing God to be revealed.
Split in here.
Yeah, different ones. Yeah. That makes sense. L'chein, hinei yamin banyu Hashem v'lo yomru. Oh, this is the big pasuk over here. Pasuk Zion. This is the famous one, and everybody's heard of this
Jeremiah
one before.
Jeremiah 23:7.
Lo yomru, I don't know about that. Lo yomru od chaya shamash alos b'nei tzom eretz Yisrael. No longer will people say, by the life of God that took us out of Egypt, no longer is it zecher litzias Mitzrayim. You hear that? We're not going to say that anymore. No longer is there going to be a seat for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kim Chaya Hashem Esher Helav Esher Hevi Yizera Beisrael Me'eretz Tzafona. We're going to say, thank God that brought out all the children of Bnei Yisrael from the northern lands. Mikol HaRav Shuri Daktim Shem, from all the lands that we were driven out there. Yashua Admasim, and put them in our land. We are now going to say that although we had a Geula before from Mitzrayim, the full revelation, the Tzafun revelation, which we have at the end of our Seder, is going to happen at the end of days, and no longer we can remember Egypt. Egypt is going to take second fiddle to this Geula. The Gemara describes it as a guy who was saved. Let me think of the order. A guy who was saved from a
polar bear.
No. It says he was saved from a
northern
wolf.
Ah, he was cool.
And he said, yeah, the ox, yeah, the domestic animal.
Polar bears are the only animals that are still
from the wolf. And he said, he goes around telling everybody about the story of the wolf, and then he gets saved from a lion. He goes around telling everybody the story of the lion. Then he gets saved by a snake. Big kasha from the a guy at the, you know,
sort of
like snake after the lion. But he says, I was saved by from a snake. He goes around and he forgets the first things that happened to him. That's what the guy does. So too, we're going to forget all the good things in Mitzrayim because of all the crazy things that are going to happen.
But it could also be that the more recent one is going to hand on more. So even though Mitzrayim happened with an ace eagle and everything.
No, but if you still were saved from a greater thing first. I'll give you an example. Let's say you were saved from a lion, and then later on you were saved from like a smaller animal.
But
you're still going to remember the lion.
Snake is after the lion.
No, that the snake was more powerful. It's clear because when wolf to lion to snake.
A snake can kill a lion. Just saying. Black Mamba.
Like
no, it's poisonous.
Black Mamba, yes.
But except Black Mamba bit it.
Black Mamba, the danger is not the poison.
No, it's aggressive.
Black Mamba is that they come after you. Yeah, they'll chase after you.
No, there's a snake in Australia. The brown snake.
That's another one. That's a hawk. Yeah.
Right. Theoretically, it's
real.
No, and it kind of South America.
And there's some sea snakes that are super venomous.
Yeah.
The real? No.
I forgot what it is. Yeah.
Crate.
K-R-A-I-T, yeah.
They wouldn't involve.
So they have a snail.
A miracle.
Do
splitting the ocean or whatever like that.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, if we're saying right now, we're trying to say that all the miracles will pale in comparison. That's what it seems to be saying.
You know what?
We all know. We know it doesn't have to happen this way. It could happen in another way. Okay? This is one of the ways that it could happen.
Yeah, we should talk to it before. We don't know how it's going
to be. Correct. Correct. We would never say that. Pasuk Tav, Lanavim, regarding the prophets, Nishpah Libi Bikirbi, my heart is broken within me. Rachapu Kos, when I all my bones shake. Hayisiki Shikra, I'm like a drunken man, Gebra Baru Yain, like a man overcome by wine. And Hashem made it very kosher because of the Hashem and all of his words and what he had said. Right? Yirmi was afraid of all the words that the prophets were telling him in Israel that were all false, and he couldn't handle it. Kimino Afim Malahars, because the land is full of adulterers. Kene Allah of Lahars, because the land is mourning over all of the swearing and the oaths. Yavshuna Os Midbor, all the pasture lands of the desert have been dried up. Fatimru Tsasum Raw, all of their course, all of their running has been for evil. Gross and Lochain, their power will use completely incorrectly. Kigam Navi Gam Kohen Chanefu, for both the Kohen and the Navi, they're hypocrites. Gam Bebezim Atsasi Raw Samnu Mashem, even in my house, I have found their wickedness, I have seen evil among them. Lochain Yadakum Lahem Chakalak Lakos, therefore their way to them will be like a slippery path. Fafeli Yadaku, they're going to run into a place of darkness. Minafluba, they'll fall there. Kiav Aleichem Arah, Aleichem Arah, Shnas Bebezim Mashem, I'm going to bring upon them evil, right in the year of their punishment, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's the idea behind it.
Hapan would be the most poisonous.
Okay, Rashi adds on that this slippery path can be both, it's dangerous even in the day, because it's such a slippery path, and at first it's going to be like they're pushed off, and then they're going to do it themselves, they're going to fall themselves. I found among the prophets of the Shomron, I've seen folly among them. Right? They have prophesied by the Baal, by Yahshua Sami Yisrael, and they have fooled all of my people, Bnei Yisrael. Listen to this though. He says in the Mi'am Lo'ez that in Yerushalayim there were no worshippers of Baal or the priests themselves. Among the prophets of Yerushalayim, where you see Sha'arura Na'of, I found it scandalous things. Na'of Aloch Bashakir. They commit adultery and they walk in their lies. And they help those who do evil. Also, so people will not do tshuva. I felt that it was Sodom and Amora. Right. These people didn't really believe in Avodah Zarah, but they believed in Taiva. And they were into Taiva, the priests of Yerushalayim, and they couldn't stop themselves from doing it.
And now or in the future?
And this is what was happening right then. And here's the Radak. Look in the Radak right over here. The Radak says that they commit adultery. It says the Nabi, it should be right here on your Dalit, right? That the way of the Nabi blames society. And over here, there was evil that was done by some of them, right? But those individuals, few as they are, is enough for the whole, the amount of everybody and the people. What do you got over here?
It doesn't say that. He's quoting it from the Radak. I'm trying to look for the other ones. I don't know where it is.
It doesn't
seem
to be saying, oh wait,
Rabbi Yerushalayim will come in
the
No, that's it.
That we already said, that those people didn't exist at that time.
Maybe not that they weren't doing Baal, they weren't being Menavi of Baal, but they were still associated with
Baal. No, he's quoting it from there. I'll quote just from what he says over here, but he does say it's from the Radak. By Mina'afu, he says it specifically by when they commit adultery, he says, the manner of the prophet is always to blame society, in this case, all the prophets of God, for the wrongdoings of the few miscreants among them. Even so, the mere existence of such individuals, few as they are, is considered a blot on the entire company of the prophets. Yeah, we don't have that in this Radak, but I would assume he's not just getting up and saying this. The question is, where is this Radak?
Is everything in the Mi'am Lo'ez a collection of Rishonim, or is it some of it's their own shot?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume he's saying it from itself. They're doing that. I don't see it. No, I don't know, because in Pasuk Yud, right, it seems that he's referring to most of them, and most of them are doing that. Okay. Somebody says at some point that this is not all of them. But either way, that's what I've been trying to say the whole time. We just have to find out where this was. Until you see it inside. I got the Malmoiz on my side. I'm going to go with the Malmoiz. We just got to find it in Hebrew now. Okay, so we'll have to see where that is. Either way, regardless, that was the idea behind it. The Nevi'im that are in Yerushalayim were into Taiva. The Nevi'im outside were into Avodah Zarah. Therefore, God says about these Nevi'im, I'm going to give them wormwood. In other words, bitterness and terrible suffering.
Yeah, Hashem, what we're doing?
Nevi'im. They were known as Nevi'im. Yeah. So the Nevi'im. So we're assuming that includes everybody. Well, these guys, I don't know if they really felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or they were known as the Nevi'im. So I don't know. He says, Nishkisim Erosh, they're going to drink warm gall water. That allowed hypocrisy to go out throughout everybody. Yeah. Okay. Kol Hashem Tzvokos, this is what God says in Pasuk Kazayin. Al Tishmal Dibri Anavim and Ibam Lechem. Right? Do not listen to the words of those prophets that prophesy for you. Mabilim, all this garbage. Right? Hema Eschem Chazon Liba Yidaber Lom Yidhi Hashem. They speak a vision that they made up themselves. They're not speaking from God. So here we go. Right? Here we're saying these are not real visions or anything like that. They're not coming from anything. Omrim Amor Lemin Atzai. They say to those people that despise me, Dibra Hashem Shalom, that God has said all will be well. Shalom Yelachem. The whole is Beshrius Libo. Everybody can do whatever they want. They said that evil will not come upon you. Who among them stood in the secrets of God, Yera, and saw, and heard his word? Who heard, bent their ear to listen to it, and actually heard it? Meaning all these people are not real prophets. Okay, for the storm of God, there is an anger that goes forth. And that storm will go upon the heads of those Roshayim and destroy them. God's anger will not go back. Adasoso, until he finishes it off. Vadakimo mizimos libo, until he does what he plots in his heart. Ba'achazim, at the end of the day, it's his babina, and you will understand it perfectly. You might not see it yet, but you'll see what's going to be. Lo shlatzis nevi'im. I never sent those prophets. Behem ratzu. Right? They ran away. Lo dibarti alein eini bo. I didn't speak to them, and yet they prophesied. So in other words, these people, these individuals who are saying that they're acting, I never told them to do anything. If they did stand in my sod, and they heard my words, as Ami, together with my nation, then all they should do is turn them away from the Rebon, turn them away from their wickedness. Am I a God only from the people that are close to me? Am I not a God of the people that are far away? In other words, the reply to this rhetorical question is no. Kadosh Baruch Hu is close to even the people that are not close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Karov Hashem, l'chol karov. Right? Obviously. That's the idea. And you suffer each from your storm. Should you hide in a secret place on Elo or any new Hashem? Do you think I'm not going to see you, says God? Hello, it's a Shemaimus or any Malaynu Hashem. I'm throughout the entire world and the heavens and the land. Pazakov, hey. Shamatis Shomru Nevi'im and even Gishmi Shaker. I heard what the prophets were saying in my name, wise. Lamor saying, Cholamti, Cholamti, that I've dreamt a dream. Ad Masai Hayesh. Ad Masai Hayesh believe in Nevi'im. Oh, no. Ad Masai. How long would this happen? Hayesh believe in Nevi'im, Nevi'a, Shaker, Nevi'a, Tamis, Libon. Does the heart of these false prophets, right, keep doing in which they prophesy the falseness of their hearts? That Sofram says that they really didn't have evil intentions, these Nevi'im. They convinced themselves that they were seeing things that God was telling them, convincing themselves that they were, you know, seeing certain things, and these were all delusions. They thought to cause my name to be forgotten in their dreams. Actually, Sapri Jolio, that each man said to the Frank Hashar, just like their fathers caused my name to be forgotten by the ball itself. A Navi Asher Yitol Chalom, a Navi that has the dream with him, Yisapar Chalom, he'll tell over the dream. Asher Dvari Yito, Yidaber Dvari, those that I had my word with them, they will speak up my words. Emes Ma Letaven, as a bar new Hashem. In truth, what is, or you could say Dvari Emes, or my true words. Ma Letaven is a bar new Hashem. This is a famous line. What does Tevin have to do with bar? What does the straw have to do with the shaft? Right? One has nothing to do with the other. One is kashiv, but one is not. One has nothing to do with anything else. Meaning the wheat, the good prophets, have nothing to do with these guys. The famous line, my word is like fire, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's like a hammer that splinters the rock into pieces. And that all the words, the Chazal learned from over here, that it's a line that all the words of the Torah can be split up into many different ways. So you can learn the Torah in 70 different facets, 49 different ways. You have all the different ways of understanding something, and it's like a hammer breaking and the sparks go everywhere. That's what the Torah is, that it goes everywhere, and there's so many different things that people can have, and it's all emes dikatora if you do it correctly.
Did anybody try to do that, like run an algorithm with all the different like letter keys to see like...
Not in that way, no. Not
see, like what word
from a pasuk or from the whole Torah?
No,
it would be too much. It would be beyond you're dealing with 304,000 words. You're dealing with 304,000 letters, I mean. You're dealing with beyond truly. That's beyond a number that we can understand.
You wouldn't work all the way through.
No, it's beyond. I mean, you're dealing with like almost like 300 zeros. When you get with 300,000 times itself, it's too much. What do you got?
Probability.
Yeah, but Yatsa Shem is back, but Yikwa Lo, Elohi Yisrael. And Chazal learned from there, they called Yaakov's name Elohi Yisrael.
If you look at the one line here, it says, remember when he went?
No, I remember. That's the Gemara that said the Yikwa Lo, God called him at that moment Elohi Yisrael. And he was known as Elohi Yisrael. Now, it seems a Mizbeach, but that's it. Well, check out the Gemara's on that passage. Where is it, by the way? It's by Yishlach.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Therefore, I'm going against the prophet, says God, who steal my word, each one from their fellow man. Each one is deluding the other, saying, no, I saw this, no, I saw that. I am against those prophets who choose their words and they speak their speeches and everything like that. I am going up against those prophets who say the false dreams, says God. They tell them over, they fool my nation with their lies, with their haste. But I did not send them. I did not command them. Behold, they're not going to be helping the people whatsoever, these false prophets. And if the people, or a prophet, or a priest, should ask you, saying, Ma Masa Hashem, what is the nevuah of Hashem? The Amarta Lehem es Ma Masa. Then you'll tell them, what nevuah? Because I will forsake you. I want you to realize that you're never going to get a nevuah again, because you faked it before. Therefore, says Hashem, you will never get a nevuah ever again. And the people, the Navi, or the Kohen, or the people that go up and say, right, this is the Navi, nevuah of Hashem. If they say that from now on, I am going to punish that person in his household. This is what each man should say to his fellow man, and each man to his brother. What did Hashem reply? What did Hashem say? That's what you have to say. Said the Das Sofrim, they were only allowed to discuss the content and the meaning of Hashem's prophecies, no more than anything else like that. The actual prophecies, and that's it. These people could not pretend to get their own nevuahs. They will never again say that they have a nevuah. Each man will be of his own word. Because you have perverted the words of the living God, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what you should say to the prophet. Meaning, again, these prophets over here, what did God answer to you? What did God say to you? The same way we set it up above. Lamed Chazi, Mat Hashem Tomeiru, and if you do say, the Nubu of Hashem, Lachin Komar Hashem, Yana Markham is Debra Zeb, because you said this, Mat Hashem, Ashlach Aleichem, Lemor Losomu Mat Hashem, and I sent you say not to say the words of Hashem. Therefore, Lachin Inini, Minashis Yeskam Naso, I will utterly forget you. Natash Yeskam, I will forsake you. That's the Irish and Asati Lachem in the city that I gave you, Lavosechem Alpanoi, and to your fathers, and I will cast you out from amongst me, and you will no longer be near the I will give you shame forever, and disgrace forever, and nobody nobody will ever forget this. That's going to happen to all these prophets that are around. Now, final nevuah of this half a sefer of Yirmiyahu over here, which he sees a mushel of figs. Hirani Hashem, Hashem has showed me. There were two baskets of figs that were set down in front of the Heichel of Hashem. Achrei Hagels Nebuchadrezzar Melech Babel Yechaniah ben Yoyakim ben Melech Yuda. After Nebuchadrezzar Melech Babel exiled Yechaniah, the son of Yoyakim, the king of Yudah, and Sarah Yudah, and all officers of Yudah, as a Chorosh as a Masir. And the artisans, the carpenters, and the I don't know what you want to say, the smiths, Yerushalayim, by being Babel, and he brought them to Babel. The two baskets of figs, what are figs doing in the base of Mikdash? Bikurim. They have to be Bikurim. Now, what we're referring to over here is during the Gullus of Yoyakim, before the final burden over here. What he was trying to say over here is that all the bad will eventually be able to do good and do tshuva. Okay, and that's what this nevuah is going to be all about. We're going to have to see how. The Chorish and the Masgir, as a side note, were Talmidei Chachamim, the artisans. They were people that were taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, but they allowed Babel to become a spiritual center. So when Bnei Yisrael did eventually go there with Zidkiah, they came to places that already had shoals and batim midrashos, or whatever they had back then, set up for them to learn because those people were already there. That's how Daniel, Hanania Mishael, Azaria was up there. They were exiled along with the Chorish and the Masgir, and a good man by the name of Mordechai. He was the one that went there, right? Isn't that what we say? Asher Hagla Im Yechonia Melech Yudah with Yechonia, right? Hadud Echod Te'enim, one basket, Te'enim Tov was really good figs, Ma'od. Ketani Abakuros, like the real good ones that ripened first. Hadud Echod Te'enim Rose, Ma'od, they were very bad. Sholos Te'echonim Roa, they couldn't be eaten, they were so bad. Yom HaShem Eli, Mato Roa Yirmiyahu. So what do you see over here, Yirmiyahu? Well, Ma'od, I said, Te'enim Ate'enim Atovos Tovos Ma'od, Ba'Rose Rose Ma'od, I see figs. The good ones are really good, the bad ones are really bad. Sholos Te'echonim Roa, they can't be eaten, right, because they're so bad. Not only were the good figs good, but they were better because they're being put next to the really bad ones. Read about Hashem Le'alemor. Kol Hashem L'kei Yisrael. Kata Einim Atov Z'Eile. Right? Just like these good figs. Kain Akir is Golos Yudah Asher Shilachim and Amakom Azeh Eretz Kastim L'Tova. So too, the people that I put in Golos Babel right now are really good people. The exile that I just sent out are really good people that are still great. Even though they're exiled, which means they must be evil, they're being punished, still I hold them in very, very high esteem. I'm doing this for a good reason. I'm putting my eye upon them with Tova. I will bring them back to this land. And I guess Mordechai did come back. Hanani Mishael Vazari did come back. Daniel came back according to one shot. I am building them up there. Below Aros, I will not destroy them. I will plant them there. I am not going to uproot them. I'm going to take care of them in their exile. And I'm going to make sure that when the next exile comes, the Gullus of Sikia, that they are eventually going to come back along with them. And Asatilam Levledas, I'm going to give them a heart Ladas, will see Kirani Hashem, to know me even in Golos. That Torah will flourish even in Golos. They'll know that I'm God, by you, Laham, they'll be my people, Anochi Elam Lohim, and I'll be their God. Because they're going to do Shuvah to me with all of their hearts. As for the poor figs, the evil figs over there that can't be eaten because they're so bad, Kikoram Hashem. This is what God says. That's what Sidkiah is going to be like. And all his officers and the remnants of Yerushalayim that are sitting in this land and those that dwell in the land of Egypt. That apparently these people are going to be filled with evil. There's going to be a lot of people there and there wasn't as many tzaddikim. They're going to be like the bad figs on the other side. So in other words, just the opposite. People think the ones that wanted to go must have been the evil guys. Well, we were allowed to remain in Yerushalayim. We must be tzaddikim. Right? We must be the good ones. But Hashem is saying the exact opposite. Sidkiah was filled with evil, and those are the ones that remained. The ones that were brought over there were the tzaddikim in order to go. There were exceptions, obviously. Sidkiah was still somewhat of a tzaddik. Yirmiyahu was still a tzaddik. Baruch ben Neriah was still a tzaddik. There were exceptions. But for the most part, Nesatim Lazabo, I will make them into an object of horror, Lera, for evil. L'chol mamachos aretz, all the kingdoms of the land. So that's why I kept them here. I kept them alive in Yerushalayim, so they would be decimated when Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradon destroyed destroys all of Yerushalayim. L'cherpa u'lamushal lishnina v'leklala. They're going to be a disgrace, a byword, a mushal for everybody, a lesson and a curse. B'chol ha'makom she'adisam sham, to all the different places that I'm going to disperse them. Six forms of evil that are all over here. Two in relation to the kingdoms of the earth. Four more in regard to the goyim, that the places where they're going to be exiled and stuff like that. But I don't know what that means. It's a reference to a pasuk in the Tokukha in Parshas Kisavo. And I'm going to place there as a cherev, as a rov, as a dover, the sword, the famine, and the plague. Ad to them until they destroy me. Right from upon the land that I given to them and their fathers. You should know, right, that there are four punishments that people get that refers to the four punishments in Bava Kama, Shor, Bor, Mava, Hever, the four Nizikin. There are four different types of punishments you can get: cherev, rov, dever, and shvi. Shvi is the worst because it contains all three of the first ones. You get plague, you get hunger, you get cherev. And that's that. All of them are going to get that. And I think we learned about that earlier before, right? They're going to be eradicated from that land of Israel, and that's what's going to happen to them while they're there, and it's going to be terrible for them. We'll stop with that, guys.